Welcome to the Grand Point Church Podcast. We're a church serving the South Central Pennsylvania area with a mission to help as many people as possible take their next steps to find and follow Jesus. If you aren't already, make sure to connect with us online through social media or grandpoint.church and let us know how God is moving in your life. Now, let's check out this week's message from Pastor Lawrence.
Good morning, Grand Point. My goodness, you guys look great even after losing an hour of sleep last night. You know, one of my worst nightmares as a pastor is I will miss it sometime, wake up late, or even worse than that is no one's going to come. I was actually over in the other room where we're having a meeting here after church today, just praying this morning, and I looked at the clock, and it was like 10 of 9, and there was no one in here. Found out that clock was set a little bit wrong, so glad to see that you're here today. My goodness, what a great day to be here. I want to welcome everyone watching online today. Just welcome into our midst. Also, I want to give a very special welcome to the Merge Community Church that is partnering with us through this series. Welcome into this as well. We love what you guys are doing downtown in Chambersburg, and just glad that we can partner a little bit with this. So good to have you here today on the sixth week of what we're calling the view. Now, the view is really about a worldview. It's the lens through which we see God and understand God, see and understand ourselves, and then even understand the things that are happening around us. There's so many things that happen in this world that we sometimes don't understand, but when we look through this right lens, the lens of the biblical worldview, we begin to get a proper understanding. This has raised a lot of questions, hasn't it? This series has raised a lot of questions, perhaps prompted some conversations that you want to have, and we welcome that, by the way. So here's what we do. This series is kind of, in essence, saying this is where we stand. This is where we stand on social issues, on theological issues. This is who we are as Grand Point Church. This is how we see it. Now, not everybody sees it the same way. We may look at different things because we've all been shaped from different backgrounds and different experiences and different education. And all of those things form the way that we think about God, about ourselves, and the world around us. What we're trying to do is just bring this together, looking through one singular lens to help us understand that. But here's the thing. We also say, okay, this is where we stand, but at Grand Point, we like to say this is where we sit. We will also sit with you and have these conversations. We will sit with anyone that wants to discuss these issues, talk about them a little bit more. We're happy to do that. Don't send me letters that are anonymous, right? That doesn't help at all in working things out and having the dialogue back and forth. But let's just get together and talk through some of these things because it's important that we understand, have the proper understanding of God, ourselves, and the events that are happening in the world around us. And we want to help you do that. We believe that there's no greater love than to tell somebody the truth, right? If you love someone, you're going to give them the truth. And that's all we're trying to do here in this time. We're not saying that, in no way are we saying that our opinions or our preferences or our feelings are better than yours. All we're saying is that our view, our worldview, is determined by what we see through the lens of the Bible. And that's kind of our source. Instead of beginning with this broad view of relative truth, where this could be true, this could be true, anything could be true. Listen, you need to know that that leads to a very limited life. It really does. That leads to a narrow, intolerant kind of life. We begin with a narrow view of absolute truth that leads to a wide view, an unlimited life with God working in and through you to do more than you ever could have imagined. A worldview other than the Bible is going to limit you. But the biblical worldview gives you the greatest freedom that you could ever have in this world. And that's what we want you to have. Well, today I want to talk to you about it. I want to talk to you about it. It is really the struggle of all struggles. It is counterintuitive for us. It is the thing that makes our lives messy and our relationships conflictual. It is what sidetracks our thoughts and kidnaps our desires. It is the thing below all other things that you could point to that argues for our need for grace. It is the one battle that no one ever escapes. It is the one place where 10 out of 10 of us need rescue. You want to know what it is? Here it is. It is the fight that God wages on our behalf to help us remember that life is simply not about us. It's not about us. Life is all about God. It's about His plan. It's about His kingdom. And it's about His glory. 2 weeks ago, we zoomed in on the first four verses of the Bible that say, "In the beginning, God." Those are four thunderously important words that change everything. They change the way that you think about your identity, about your meaning, and about purpose. Those four words change the way that you approach even the most incidental of human duties and the circumstances of life. In the beginning, God created. Everything that was created and made by God was made by God was for His glory. All of the created points toward His glory. The universe is designed to function according to His purpose and His plan, and that includes you and me. Listen, we were not meant to live independent, self-directed lives. We were not meant to exist according to our own little self-oriented plans, living for our moments of glory. No, you and I were created to live for the glory of God. Now, the sooner that you understand that, the better your life will be, because if you don't understand that, your life is just going to be one mess after another. It's going to be one stress after another. But when you understand that it is for the glory of God, it changes everything. Well, today's question that we're going to ask in this worldview series is a very personal question. It has to do with our personal lives, and that is, are they purpose-driven or are they fate-driven? In other words, are our lives the working out of a divine plan, or are they just a series of random things that happen to us? It's an important question. Does anyone here have skydiving on your bucket list? Anybody want to do that yet? I want to tell you a story, and this may not, there we go. And this may not work real well for you, but that's a true story. Joan Murray was an experienced skydiver, and on one of her routine jumps at 14,000 feet, yes, 14,000 feet from a perfectly, stable airplane, she was experiencing the thrill of the free fall at 120 miles per hour. When it was time to pull the ripcord, she did, but nothing happened. Isn't that like the greatest fear ever? I'm telling you, that's why I don't go skydiving. See, I think for me, I'd want to pull that ripcord as soon as possible. I'd probably pull it before I jump, and that would create another set of problems. I'd be dangling from that airplane with my parachute inside, right? But she pulled the ripcord and nothing happened. But because she was an experienced skydiver, no stress, no problem, no panic. Right, she knew that she had a reserve chute. So she pulled the reserve cord and she pulled it, and the parachute came out perfectly. The only problem was, when it came out, she got tangled up in the cord, and when she did, the reserve chute began to deflate and she began to free fall again, only this time spinning and twisting completely out of control. She's now plummeting to the earth at about 80 miles per hour, and there's nothing she can do at this point. She hits the ground with such an impact that it shattered everything from the top of her head to the bottom of her ankle on her right side. She's laying there on the ground. Her heart began to shut down, and she's laying there absolutely helpless. Now, to add insult to injury, she just so happened to land in an enormous pile of fire ants. If you've ever lived in the South, you know about fire ants. And these fire ants were now angry with her for disturbing their little place, and they went on an attack and stung her with upward to 200 stings. Joan was now rushed to the hospital, and the doctors were working her, and they came back with something pretty amazing. Listen to this. They came back and they said it was most likely the fire ants that saved her life. Because all the venom of that sting shocked her heart back into action again until the paramedics arrived. Now, that story has a lot of emotions, does a lot of up and down emotions, and I'm telling the story, you're not quite sure how it's going to work out in the end. But by the way, that actually happened. That was a true story that happened in 1999. Joan went through 20 reconstructive surgeries, 17 blood transfusions, and then went back and did her 37th jump in 2001, just a couple years later. Now, I tell you this story because at the end of it, we need to ask the question, does God really have a plan and a purpose for our lives? Does God really have a plan for fire ants, right? Does he have those things in your lives that are there to designed to help you, to save your life, to give you a new future? Or is everything that happens to us just karma? Is it chance? Is it coincidence? Or is it luck? Or is there something different? Now, I want to ask that question through the lens of the Bible, and I want to introduce you to a very, very important doctrine found in the Word of God, a doctrine that goes by the name of providence. Providence. Now, before I came to Grand Point, I was pastor of Providence Church in Southern Lancaster County, located in New Providence, Pennsylvania. But far more than a place name or a church name, this is one of the most important doctrines of the Bible, and it's a doctrine that helps you understand what is happening in the world around us, what's happening in your life, what's happening in our community, and what's even happening in our world. In English, the word providence comes from two different words, and it's providio. Providio, which simply means to see before. Providence means to see before. It's the idea that God has oversight over everything in the universe, including the past, the present, and the future, and he can see ahead of time what is going to happen and why. Did you ever wish that you could do that? Do you ever wish that you could see your whole life out ahead of you, like next year and 5 years and 10 years? You could see all of what's going to happen to your kids and grandkids and your future and your retirement, right? So maybe we can't see that, but I'll tell you what, God does. God knows that, and he has all of that planned. So the best thing that we can do is just kind of rest in him, right? And let him lead us into that. Not only that, providence means that God has the power to control and orchestrate all things. Someone once said it this way, providence is God knowing what happens, when it happens, how it happens, why it happens, and what happens after. Last week, Penny and I were in Melbourne, Florida. We were taking care of our grandchildren while our daughter and her husband were actually in this area on some business. And we watched the Prince of Egypt movie one night with our grandkids. Now, it wrecked. If you've ever seen that movie, it's kind of the playoff of everything that happened in the Exodus. So it shows, you know, these guys going in and taking all the firstborn children out of the homes and throwing them in the Nile, and the alligators are there with their big mouths ready. That will wreck and destroy your grandkids. Maybe not the best choice for us, but we did it. We watched it. So when we're going to bed now, our granddaughter was wrecked, and she's laying there in bed, and she has a whole lot of questions about why that happened. Why would they do that? Why was a story like that in the Bible? And it actually led to an amazing gospel conversation with my seven-year-old granddaughter. So she's in the top bunk, and I'm standing beside her, and we're like eye to eye, you know, about that height. And she's asking all of these questions about why would this happen, and why would God allow that to happen? So it was a good opportunity for me to explain the Old Testament and then the grace of God and the substitution of Jesus Christ that came into our lives so we don't have to pay the penalty for all of that. And we're talking about this, and it's actually talking about the providence of God. And after a while, she looked at me and she said, Pop, I think that means that God even knew that we were going to have this conversation a long time ago, doesn't it? And I'm like, she got it. She understood, yes. God knew that we were going to even have this conversation. See, the doctrine of God's providence teaches us some very, very important truths that you and I need to hear today. I want to give you two of those, and then I'm going to give you some applications to take with you. But here it is. God, number one is this. The idea of providence is that God knows and cares about every detail of your life. You need to know that. God's providence, God knows and cares about every detail of your life. Sometimes we think that God maybe is too big or too busy with more important things to be concerned or even consider all these inconsequential details of our lives. But listen, that sentiment is not biblical. Not biblical at all. God absolutely cares about the little things that happen in our lives. Now, just to gain some perspective on this, we must first understand that everything is little compared to God. He created the entire universe, but the question of whether God cares more is more fundamentally about the depth of his love than it is about the breadth of his power or the importance of a particular detail. God has a deep, deep love for you. He really does. And that's why he cares about the details of your life. Throughout the Bible, we see evidence that God cares deeply about our lives. Perhaps the most convincing passage is from Luke chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Here's a question. Are not five sparrows sold for just 2 pennies? I mean, that's insignificant. That doesn't mean hardly anything. And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. God knows about the birds that people sell for next to nothing, right? He knows about that. They are of small consequence to humans, and yet they're remembered by God. Jesus tells us that we are worth much more than that. Of course God cares about you. In fact, he cares enough to number the hairs on our heads. Some of you make that a whole lot easier for him than others. A very similar passage is Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Here Jesus counsels against worry. Anybody here ever worry? I didn't think so, right? But Jesus counsels against worry, and he highlights how God provides for birds and for flowers, things that pass quickly and are considered unimportant to humans. How much more then does he care for his people? There's no detail that is unknown or unimportant to God. And that's comforting to know, because a lot of times we think the things that are happening to us are so small, and it's just about us. We don't even need to tell anybody. We don't want to tell anybody. We just kind of want to work this out ourselves. But you need to know that God knows. God knows about it, and he cares about that. You talk to him about it, and he'll work with that. God cares about every detail of your life. The second thing I want you to know about providence is this. God uses everything and wastes nothing. He uses everything. He uses every experience in your life, everything that's happening in your life for a purpose. And he does not waste that at all. That means that there are no accidents. There are no accidents in our lives. We love the scripture from Romans 8:28 that says, and we know for those that love God, all things work together for good. Now, that's because the very nature of God is that he is good. So if he is allowing things to happen, working out his purposes in your life, everything that he does is for good. Charles Spurgeon once said this. He said, God's providence is nothing more than his goodness in action. Now, one of the best stories to illustrate this is the story of Joseph. The story of Joseph is found in the book of Genesis, chapters 37 to 50. If you're okay, I'm not going to read all that, but let me tell you the story. Joseph was one of 12 sons born to a man by the name of Jacob, and they lived in the land of Israel. And he happened to be the favorite child. Let me tell you, that hardly ever works out, right? Hardly ever works out to have a favorite child, and it didn't work in this case either. So Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob, and Jacob gave him this coat of many colors. And added to all that, Joseph had a dream one day that all of his older brothers would bow down to him. Now, whether or not this was the right thing to do or not, he told them that dream, and that made them angry. They did not like this at all. In fact, one day when they were out in the field working, Joseph came out to deliver a message to them, and they're like, hey, here comes the dreamer. Now's our chance. And they began to scheme about how they could get rid of Joseph. And they had all kinds of things running through their heads. Should they just kill him? Oh, they thought, there's a pit over here. Let's just throw him in the pit. And then all of a sudden, it just so happened that there was this band of Midianites that were going past. Someone at our service last night thought I said a band of Mennonites. It's not that. I'm serious, can I just clarify this? Midianites. So this band of Midianites was going past, and they were on their way to Egypt. And the brothers were like, hey, let's sell him to the Midianites, right? And then we can get some money for him, and Joseph will be gone. He'll be out of our sight, out of our won't be a problem for us anymore. So they did that. They sold him, and off he went, good riddance. Now, before they sent him to the band of the Midianites, they took off his colorful coat, and they found an animal. They killed an animal and put some of the blood on this coat, and then they took the coat to the father and said, Dad, we just found this out in the field. Joseph must have been attacked by an animal, and they went through the whole grieving process, at least their dad did. Now, meanwhile, it just so happened that in Egypt, Joseph was sold again, this time to a man by the name of Potiphar. Potiphar was the chief of security for the land of Egypt, so he served this. He served the Pharaoh, who was the king of Egypt. So Joseph was now sold to Potiphar. Now, I want you to see something in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 39, it says this, and it says, now, he was a slave, right, in Potiphar's house, and the Bible says, and God was with him. By the way, that is a theme that runs all the way through the life of Joseph. From Genesis 37 all the way through 50, you'll see that over and over again, that God was with Joseph. And you need to know that's also a theme of God's story for your life. God is weaving that story. God is creating a story for your life as well. And you need to know, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that God is with you. Wherever you are, whatever is happening, God is with you. Now, that's a truth that you don't ever want to have escape your mind and your heart, because you need to know that. But God was with Joseph even when he was sold into slavery. He was now in Potiphar's house, and God was with him, so God favored him, and he prospered, he worked well, he did everything so good in his job that Potiphar noticed this, and he promoted him to be the head of his household. That means that Joseph had a lot of time in Potiphar's house, and he served him well. Well, something happened in the household, and Joseph was now accused of doing something that he did not do. Well, this made Potiphar so mad at him that he had him thrown in prison because, you know, Potiphar's position, he could do things like that. You know, we'll hire somebody else, get this guy out of here. And that's what they did. So now Joseph is in prison. Once again, it says in Genesis 39, and God was with him in prison. And it just so happened that in prison, he had two cellmates that were also servants of Pharaoh, and they're in there, and these two cellmates had this dream one night, and the interpretation of dreams was a big thing in this culture, so they were asking about interpretation of dreams, and Joseph was able to interpret these dreams because he had such a connection and a heart for God that he knew what God was doing. And so in all of God's purpose, Joseph interpreted these dreams, and one of the guys, the cupbearer, was like, this is awesome. He got out of prison, and he's like, Joseph, dude, I will get you out of here as soon as I can. Well, he took off, forgot all about Joseph, and he spent 2 more years in prison. Have you ever felt like you just did the right thing? You did all the right things. You were obedient to God. You were doing everything. And someone set you up and brought you down to a place where you feel like you're being punished for it. You are now in a place where you're paying the penalty, or you're paying the cost for someone else's disobedience. And you're tempted to ask, why is this happening? What is the purpose behind all this? This is just not fair. And you've come to the conclusion that life is not fair and things shouldn't happen this way and God is not for you, and you feel like you're even forgotten. You feel like you're in a prison and somebody forgot all about you. You've been praying to God, but you're not getting any kind of an answer. You've been praying for somebody else and God's just not working and you feel kind of forgotten. Remember, the providence of God is nothing more than his goodness in action, even when it does not look like it's good. There are times when life may not look good, but God's providence is always good. So here's Joseph now in prison. And again, it says in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, I need to fast forward the story because of our time here today. But while in prison, you know, Joseph interpreted some dreams and these guys got out again, forgot all about him. But now the king of Egypt had a dream. The king of Egypt had this dream. And he asked his servants to find someone who could interpret this dream. And all of a sudden, the one servant who had been released from prison because of Joseph's interpretation remembered Joseph. And he's like, oh, king, yes, I got the perfect guy for you to do this. So they called Joseph and brought him out of prison, brought him before the king. The king told him his dream. Joseph interpreted exactly, and the king knew it. Well, the king was so pleased that he requested Joseph be put in charge as the prime minister in Egypt. So in a moment, Watch this. In a moment, Joseph is elevated from the prison to the prime minister of all the land of Egypt. Listen, that is how quickly life can change when it is submitted to the providence of God. When you are working with the providence of God, resting in the providence of God, your life can change in a moment. And that's exactly what happened with Joseph. Now, while all of this is happening, there is a famine predicted that's going to come. So where Joseph is right now, as prime minister of Egypt, he was instructed to provide, to store up food because there is a famine that was going to come. So he did. Man, the shelves were stocked. The pantries were full. He added extra storage bins, and he was in charge of all of this food now stockpiled in the land of Egypt. Meanwhile, over here in the land of Israel, where Jacob and all of his sons were living, there was a famine. So Jacob was like, man, we've got to go over to Egypt and get some food. So he sent all of his sons, well, most of his sons to Egypt to get some food. Guess who they met? They met Joseph. They did not know it, but Joseph knew them. Joseph was now in a position where he could get revenge. He could get restitution for what was taken from him. He had all the power, he had all the authority, and he had the perfect opportunity to settle the score. But he recognized that God is purposeful in all that he does and allows, using everything and wasting nothing. So here's what he did. He revealed himself to his brothers, and he said in Genesis 45, verse 8, "And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For," what are the next three words? "God sent me. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in these land for 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors." Watch this. "So it was not you who sent me here, but God." But God. "He made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all of his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt." Now, the brothers were relieved that Joseph did not kill them, because he certainly could have, but they went back to their father and they said, "Dad, sit down. We have got to tell you what we just discovered in the land of Egypt." They told their dad about meeting Joseph, that Joseph is alive. He's still alive. He's the prime minister of Egypt. He's the one that's in charge of all of this. Well, Jacob was now, "We've got to go." So they all got together. They went back to Egypt and they had this big family reunion. And soon after that, Jacob died. And now the other brothers are afraid again. Because you know what happens sometimes when the patriarch or the matriarch of the family dies? Now the kids can bring out everything that's been, you know, the tensions that were there. And so they were afraid maybe that this would happen again. So Joseph said to them in chapter 50, verse 19, "Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. For am I in the place of God? Am I in the place of God? No, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." By the way, both of those statements are true. Joseph's brothers did do evil, but God took that evil and made it good. I think you and I need to hear that today, because sometimes we think that evil is taking over. It looks like evil is taking over our world. What if that is the providence of God working its way out for something that is good? Let me tell you this, the church in America needs to wake up. We need to wake up. And I'm wondering if God is using some evil about us to wake up his church. It might just be that. That might be what God is doing. Now, think about your own life. Maybe God is bringing something into your own life right now that is really unpleasant, right? It seems like something's stacked against you. It seems like evil people are coming against you. What if God is just using that circumstantially to bring about something good in your life? That is the providence of God. See, God is able to use evil actions of sinful men, and those actions accomplish his greater purpose. Now, I want to conclude today just by giving you some things that you can take with you. If you have your handout, this is all printed on there as well. And I even gave you some fill-in-the-blanks today. Anybody here like fill-in-the-blank? A couple of you? Some of you say, just write it out, Pastor Lawrence. Just tell me what it is. No, I want you to think about this. Fill in the blank. Ask yourself, what did he say about this? And then think about. So fill in the blanks. But I want to give you a few life-changing truths that you can take home with you, all related to the providence of God. Number one is this. The providence of God builds our faith. When you begin to understand the providence of God, you begin to deepen your faith and it builds your faith so that you can trust God more. John Piper puts it this way. He says, God is perhaps doing 10,000 things in your life right now. You might understand three of them. That means that there are 9,997 things that you are missing. You just don't understand. You don't see what God is doing. You don't see the action that is behind God's work. You can't imagine all the different ways that God is working all things for your good and his glory. That's who he is. That's just who he is, and that's how he rolls. So I was a late starter for ministry. This is a second career for me. Some of you know a little bit of my story. But when we started in ministry, I already had a family, right? So I had kids and a wife, and you know, you have some responsibility when you have a family. Like, you have to work and you have to provide for them. So I was called to this. I didn't have even my undergraduate work when I got called for ministry. So I enrolled in school, and we didn't do that online thing. We moved. We packed up and moved to Dallas, Texas, to go to seminary. But we had a plan. Because I had to have a plan. I had to get a job as soon as possible. So we had our seminary planned out. I mean, this semester I would be taking this many credits, this summer this many credits. I mean, I did this year around because I was also working there and trying to provide. So we had the perfect plan, right? We had this all figured out. And then one day I got the diagnosis that I had cancer. And so it set me back for a while. I lost all my classes for an entire summer, had to drop out of school to deal with the cancer, to work through the recovery of all that. And all of a sudden, our perfect plan was wrecked, right? It was gone. Now, I would be graduating sometime later, but it just so happened that there was a church 1,324 miles away that was going through an interim ministry period. And they were ready. They were only ready to call a pastor at the same time that my adjusted graduation time happened. So because my plans were wrecked, God had a different plan. I was graduating now later than I thought, but it was at the same time that Providence Church was ready to call a pastor, and they called me to be their pastor. I served there for 14 and a half years. And it just so happened that church was in the same denomination, in the same network churches as Grand Point. And that's how Grand Point Church learned about me and called me here. So today, because I'm able to be here at Grand Point, I can say thank God for that cancer. Thank God that my plans were wrecked so that God's plan could be worked out, right? Now listen, I know cancer doesn't always work in the same way that it did for me. Sometimes that brings a life change or maybe even a life ending. But God used that circumstantially to get me to where he wanted me to be. And I believe that God is purposefully having Penny and I with you for at least for this season of our lives. But we thank God for that. See, the providence of God builds our faith because we look back on that experience and we see how God provided even through that and with that to get us to where he wants us to be. So listen, I'm not smart enough. I'm not smart enough to figure out what God is doing in any particular situation. But it is enough for me to know that God knows what he's doing. Even if I can't figure it out, all I need to know is that God knows, even when my circumstances don't make any sense at all to me. I don't know what I don't know, right? I don't know what I don't know. But knowing that my circumstances are the fingerprints of God just builds my faith, and it will yours as well. The second thing I want you to take with you today is this. The providence of God gives us confidence even in the moments of confusion. Some of you are very confused about life right now because you talk about the goodness of God, right? And then the reality of life, and it just doesn't seem to mix, and you're a little bit confused about that. How can a good God allow this to happen? Why would a good God allow this to happen in my life? And you've been asking, is there a purpose? Or is there a plan behind these things that are happening in your life right now because you feel betrayed? right? You feel forgotten. You feel like you're in a prison, and you're feeling like Romans 8:28 is just not working for me. God is not working all things together for good because I love him, but it's not happening in my life. On Wednesday of this week, I received a message that Rick and Linda Knepper's son-in-law, Rusty, passed away totally unexpected from a massive heart attack at age 49. How do we understand that? What does that mean? Leaves a wife and a son, that 11-year-old son behind? What do we make of that? Just hours after receiving that news, I got a message from O'Neill David. O'Neill and his wife are members here at Grand Point, telling me that his dad just passed away in flight, coming home from Guatemala to meet his family and to spend some time with a family reunion. He died on the plane, and they discovered that when they landed in Dulles Airport on Monday morning. They went to wake him up, and he was gone. It's like, what do we do with that? How do we make sense of all that? The goodness of God and the reality of life can lead to confusion. Listen, today there are many things that are unclear, uncertain, and undecided. We have more questions than we have answers, right? So much of life seems like we're stumbling through the fog of haphazard circumstances. But you need to know, church, one day, God is going to make it all clear. It's all going to be understood, and we're going to discover that all of his ways were right. But right now, life is this mysterious journey of unexpected twists and turns. No one can say for sure what's behind the next corner. And as you round that next corner in life, it might be a road that leads through this lovely valley, or maybe you'll go around the next corner in your life and discover that the bridge is out and there's a detour. And now what you thought was going to happen, you're going a different direction. Maybe you go around the next corner in your life and you see that the road goes in three different directions and you don't know which way to go. But here's the thing, with the providence of God, there's one who knows the way because the past, the present, and the future are all the same to him. And the final thing I want to leave you with is this. This is kind of the bottom line. But the providence of God secures our hope for the future. I don't have this down perfectly yet, but by and large, I don't stress, I don't fret, I don't worry about my future because I know that all things work together for good. God is working his plan. God is a providential God. I've seen it in the past. My faith is built on that. Listen, again, I'm not perfect. There are moments when I get stressful, but by and large, yes, this is not a big issue because it is about God and it's not about me. The providence of God builds our faith, it gives us confidence, and it secures our hope. It's in him that we live and move and have our being. And I want you to rest in that today, church. I want these great truths to be the source of your security. I want you to be able to rest in the Lord. I mean, just lay your soul upon the solid rock of God's eternal providence. Rest in his control over all things. Rest there, and you will sleep well tonight. Amen? Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you that you are a God who is in control. You're a God who can be trusted. You're a God who we really can give our lives to. God, forgive us for making it about us. Forgive us for making it about us so much that we would even worry about things. Forgive us for making it about us so that we would live in disappointment, or we would even maybe shake our fist in your face at times because we feel like you've forgotten us or betrayed us. God, we come back to you this morning right now. We understand that you're a God who's over it all. You're a God that has it all in control, so we rest there today. We rest there. Right now, if there are any fears that we're carrying with us, if there's any anxiety, if there's any worries about our future, about our lives, about our condition, about our health, about our children, grandchildren, about our jobs, finances, whatever it is that might be troubling us, God, we rest in you. And we claim this morning the very fact that God is providential, he has a purpose, he has a plan, and he's working all things for our good and his glory. God, we thank you that we can trust you in that. In Jesus' name, amen.